So for those who don't know, my name is Tim Cowles, and I'm a member here at this church. And if you're new here, I just want to say I hope you enjoy your morning with us. Since the beginning of September, we have been exploring our vision statements. And so far, we've been looking at the statement of come as you are, statement of community of believers, and full of being full of the Spirit. And I personally have been really encouraged by what I've heard, and I hope you have too. Today I'll be finishing off the series looking at the last vision statement, which is called Justice and Mercy. And this morning we're going to be looking at a passage in Job. So for those of you who don't know, Job is a book in the Old Testament, and it's quite a challenging story really about a man named Job, who is from a place called Uz, which is kind of an interesting and funny name. But, you know, who knows whether, you know, Shepparton in the, you know, thousands of years maybe would be reflected as quite a weird name at that point in time. What I really like about Job is that he is described in the opening verses in the Message translation as being honest inside and out, a man of his word, who was totally devoted to God and hated evil with a passion. What a great, great statement for us just to think about when we first, just before we even explore it, to think if that's who you, what you were known for. So other things about Job: he is blessed with children and great riches. He has land. He is a really important and influential figure in this land at the time. But as you explore the book, early on in those chapters, Job goes through great suffering. And even, I guess, some of the message that Paul shared with us before, and I guess Mike also touched on as well, you know, it sort of explores that thought and theme of suffering and someone struggling with it. And Job's life takes a very different turn. He loses his children in tragedy. He loses parts of his livestock and land, and he suffers great sickness and ill health towards him. And the great news, I guess, there's restoration at the end for Job. So in terms of, we're going to be looking at a part of it and looking at how Job served his community. But just to say that, you know, God humbled him and then he was restored at the end, and he was restored with great blessings as well. It's not to say that that happens every time, but just in this story, that's what happened. So we pick up the story in chapter 29. So it's in page 530, maybe 530, lots of different ways to say that. Chapter 29, verses 7 to 17 is what we're going to be looking at, and they'll come up on the screen behind me. So what Job's doing at the moment, he is sharing his frustrations and his anger, I guess, and sharing where he's at with three of his friends who came to comfort him. And they've been having a discussion back and forth. And to be fair, some of what his friends have been sharing has been helpful wisdom, helpful stuff, and some of it not so much. But Job is reflecting his frustration and his anger at why this happened to him when he thinks back to how or what he's done, I guess. So it says, "When I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside. The old men rose to their feet. The chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me, because I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to assist them. The one who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth." Powerful stuff. Really challenging and encouraging for, I guess, where individually and as a church, but how are we doing maybe in some of those things? as I was preparing this, I felt God really prompt me to talk about showing compassion, as I had that heading on the first slide. So showing compassion to people around us. The Oxford Dictionary defines compassion as a strong feeling or sympathy for people who are suffering and a desire to help them. I feel God would like to lead us as a church family into a deeper place of compassion for people. We've already touched on it, Mike's already mentioned it earlier, but I think it's really important that when we look at this, it's to remember that we're already doing some really good stuff in the community, and what we're sharing here today is not to take away from anything that, for example, Debtscape or Oak Tree Cafe, just to name a few, are doing to support the local community. But it's about, as we're exploring this vision, how do we go further and how do we go deeper into showing compassion and showing mercy and justice to those in our community. I'm just going to pray and then we're just going to look at some of it more. Father, I thank you that we have this example of Job and the example of how he showed compassion and showed justice and showed mercy to those in his community. Father, we would ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon this place right now. Father, we would ask that you would just start pouring out over us, start stirring up in us a desire to respond and desire to show compassion to others. Like even now, just Lord, let us start to be awoken in that, Father, because we want to bring comfort to people and bring help and healing where we can, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you think about some of those things that we sort of said about Job in these verses, and if at the end of your life you had a tombstone that said, reflected what you were known for, I wonder what it might say. I would personally think probably of not many better things that could be shared than some of those statements about how he cared for those in his community. I also really like that actually we don't know how he did it. We know what he did. We don't know how he went about it. All we know is we've got some high-level statements that say he was the feet to the lame or the eyes to the blind. I wonder what that might be today. You know, quite often we think about money as the solution, which it does help, I guess, but actually could, in terms of being the eyes to the blind, be something like taking a blind person to the shops and helping them to pick what they want, pick up what they want, and transporting them back to their home. Is that showing them compassion and helping them and showing them that we care? The other thing that we need to know about Job is that he was such an influential member. He was a leading community member of the place of us, of where he was. He would have had responsibility to care for those people who needed caring for. And what's great about Job is that he doesn't use it for his own personal gain. Sometimes we can, I think you can wrestle with that idea of why am I doing this? What is my actual motivation behind what I'm doing? Am I doing it because I think it's the right thing to do, or am I doing it maybe to look good, perhaps? And maybe some people around the world is a sort of a motivation for why they sort of serve or why they help. But he is a guy who just loved people. And it said he was from the inside, outside, almost what you saw is what you got. He was a guy who loved God. It said he feared God, which means he was such in awe of God that he just wanted to hear him and to respond and to show compassion and care for people. And maybe with that idea of money, you can think, well, when I look at Job had great wealth, as we heard initially. He had thousands of livestock, great land, great children. He had numbers and volume, which would have shown in that sort of day and age that maybe some of that stuff wouldn't have gone amiss. Maybe we can look at it and say, well, he had so much wealth that actually it wouldn't have been lost on Job, and maybe that's why he helped people. But again, we don't know what actions he actually took. So in terms of what I've got to share with us today, I've got three key points. One is, see the people, know their story. Second one is compassion into action. And then let us not become weary is the last point. At the end of this preacher, I guess, we're going to have an opportunity just to pray with one another. I think when Mike was sort of praying about it, actually, you know, we sort of spoke about for if someone had a stirring up to help support the hampers. And what we're going to do is spend time just praying for compassion for one another. We're going to break out into groups and we're just going to sort of say, can I pray to be encouraged, I guess. But that will come later on. So firstly, see the people and know their story is the first point I want to look at. I wonder, what do you see when you look at these images behind me? The one in the middle is a little bit hard to see, but I just wanted to share with you that the person on the left, his name is Tom. He's a successful businessman, but he's struggling in his marriage to his wife. So he's spending as much of his time as possible in the workplace to avoid the realities of his home life. Graham's the man in the middle. He used to be in the army, but when he left, the scars of war followed him and changed him. And now he's unable to hold down a job. He lost his family and he had to leave. And now he lives on the street. Hannah on the far right, she suffers from depression. She thinks that she isn't loved and she thinks about self-harming. I think it's really important for us to remember that there are so many people out there with clear, visible needs, and you know, the blind, the disabled, the homeless, for example, just a few. But there are equally many people who have invisible needs, such as depression, anxiety, relationship challenges, that require just the same compassion and love from us to them. Why? Because it's important that we need to remember that we are all children of God, that he loves all of us, loves all of us. It says in the Psalms that God knitted each one of us in our mother's wombs, and he knows all the days of our lives, and he knows, he has so many precious thoughts concerning each and every one of us. And we are so dearly loved that it says in Romans that even when we were sinners with no hope, no chance, he still sent his son Jesus Christ so that we might have an opportunity to be saved. The challenge is if we forget, I guess, about seeing people, we can be, you might be like me, for example, every now and again, when someone comes up to me asking for help, where what I do is I bring my own judgments, my own thoughts into their circumstance, rather than seeing who they are as an individual, and an individual who has their own story. A really challenging quote by a South American theologian called Gustavo Gutierrez says, "You say you love the poor, name them." I think it's a really hard-hitting thing for me, especially when I think, well, actually, do I want to help God by serving the people in the community, but sometimes I can just see problems and see needs as opposed to seeing someone who is a child of God and who God loves so dearly. And I guess what I just want to share around this is that there's an importance here to build relationship with people, even if that's a stranger or with a friend or a family member or maybe a colleague, because until we know someone's story and the route, I guess, they have taken to get to the place where they are now, what we can be in danger of is letting our own judgments and our own preconceptions and what we think affect our ability to feel compassion, to be stirred for people. Because I think for all of us, God has inside of us a compassion for people, because, you know, we know how much we're loved. Therefore, we want to, or should want to, expand that love to others and to see God break out into examples. I mean, of doing things. I was really touched during the worship time this morning when we started thinking about that sort of God can do miraculous things. He can do the impossible things. And I was there thinking, what? Almost like I might limit what God can do in a situation, as opposed to just being like, God, you're in complete control and you love this individual, and I'm not going to, don't let your own judgments or your own thoughts on it limit that stirring up of compassion to be moved to go and do something or to help someone. So that's the first thing I guess just wanted to sort of talk about, was see the people and actually know their story. Have time to take time to know their story. Second point is around compassion into action. So the vision point that we have is mercy and justice. The definitions for mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. And justice is fair and reasonable behavior. When we're stirred for that feeling of compassion for someone, it really needs to lead us into action, I guess, to a degree, because, excuse me, if we're not stirred by that compassion to do something, again, the danger is that nothing will happen. And and we want to be a church that is actively showing justice and mercy to the community, especially those most vulnerable and those most in need around us. So how do we, how do we allow that to be stirred up inside us and just to go for it and to put that into action? So if we looked at the verses of Job, this is what... Oh, that's my beard. That's what that is. I was like, what is that? Need to trim before preaching. Completely off the flow there, haven't we? If we look back at the verses of Job, it says, because I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist them. The one who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. These are all the summary points of how he cared for those in his community. Again, I know I've said already, we don't know actually what actions he took for it, but what we do know is that they were cared for. They were looked after. And if we were to also look at how Jesus was led from compassion into action, in the New Testament we can read, and I'm going to be jumping around different verses because there's just a few of them in here. It says in Matthew 15, verse 32, and Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away. This compassion that Jesus felt for the people who had been with him then led to the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. You know, when we feel compassion and we're stirred into an action and we invite God to partner with us into that, or we ask God, can we partner with you into it? You know, miracles can happen. It says in John 11, 34, 38, and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. We've already heard this one already mentioned this morning by Paul. The compassion Jesus had for his friend, Lazarus, moved him to raising him from the dead. That compassion stirred up, moved him into an action. In Matthew 14:14, it says, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. We don't know why he felt compassion for them, but he did. That something was stirring up in Jesus that said, I feel for these people that are before me, and I'm stirred to do something. And what he did was he just got off the boat and he prayed for them, and many people were healed. Last week, Desmond spoke to us about exercising our spiritual gifts. He said, you know, eagerly desire, he was going through a list in Corinthians. He's sort of saying about eagerly desire, you know, I guess, about being a prophet, teacher, healer, having tongues, word of interpretations. And one of the things that he sort of spoke about, I guess, was just doing it, just getting out there and just trying to just work with God and say, God, can you be with me in this moment, and then see what happens. This is what Jesus just demonstrates for us, that he just is with God, and he says, or he's got compassion for people, and he's moved into an action, and from that action then a miracle happens, because God works with Jesus, works with the human, and sees something changed around in that community. Because quite often, I would say for me personally, I will, I know I've sort of already mentioned about the visible and the invisible needs, where I see visible need, even last week I was driving through Weybridge, and I was going down Monument Hill, and I saw a blind guy, because he had his walking stick, so it's clearly easy to see the visible, and I was in the car anyway, but he was walking up the hill, and as I was driving past, I just felt something inside me a little bit to be like, it doesn't feel right that, you know, maybe someone's going through that suffering, although I'm sure this individual has maybe come to terms with that a little bit. But I was like, I wonder if I prayed, what would have happened? Do you know what I mean? I wonder if I pulled over and said, excuse me, sir, I just feel like I want to pray for you because I feel stirred up for something. He might have been like, yeah, okay, or not at all, or whatever. But just imagine if you had that compassion stirring up in you, that you were then moved to do something, and then actually, instead of you thinking that actually nothing's going to happen, the man's eyes opened up as we see that Jesus mirrored for us. And I was thinking of, there's a story in Acts about Peter and John, I think, going to the temple, and there's a lame beggar. And the guy says to him, like, what, you know, he says, have you got any silver or gold? You know, that is what he's thinking. That's my need. And actually what Peter and John say to him is almost like, there's something more that I can give you. And what I can give you is, in the name of Jesus, is healing to your actual infirmity, which is your lameness. And then you can get up and maybe your life can be transformed into something that it wasn't 3 seconds ago or 1 second ago. So when we have compassion that stirs up in us, and we see people's stories, and we hear what where they are, and we let our hearts be softened, and even just in this worship time this morning, I was thinking, well, I felt God almost impressing on me that sometimes we can think God's heart doesn't break over all this suffering that happens in the world, but God's heart is like breaking. He wants to partner with us to help provide some healing ease into the community around us. Compassion needs to lead to an action. Otherwise, it's just almost an empty feeling, because we can just go about our day, really. Behind me, we've got 3 images. There's other things that the church is doing, so I'm not taking away from other things, but here's 3 particular ones that, in terms of you think about compassion, that led to action. 1, Debtscape. There's that beard again. Compassion for those struggling financially led to the creation and the setup of a free debt advice and support service for people who are struggling with that. Because of her compassion, it led to an action. Bags of food, the compassion for those struggling financially, possibly to provide food for the table, led to an action of, let's create bags of food that can help support those people who struggle with that. An Oak Tree Cafe, compassion for those who struggle with mental health issues, led to the creation of a cafe-style environment so people can just be who they are and be relaxed in a safe environment. And all the people who are faithfully serving these areas generously give their time to hear those individual stories and to meet with them and to help them however they can. I've actually written here, God is the deliverer of impossible things. As we know, we've all sung that this morning. And again, so when we move to compassion and we move into action, God can do incredible things. And I hope you believe that too. And I hope, you know, even now maybe God is stirring something up inside you. The last point I've got is, let us not become weary. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed, and I personally feel this, overwhelmed by the whole needs of the almost the entire world, because we have so much readily available information that all of a sudden you can be bombarded with just suffering that's happening on either side. Even yesterday when I was finishing writing this, a news article popped up on my phone to inform me of the terrible US shooting that happened yesterday. You know, we're here in one place, but all of a sudden we can be informed of everything that's globally happening, and it can make you feel sort of very, have compassion fatigue sometimes. We can have that can set in on us. And to link it back to Job, I guess, if you think about Job, he was probably a leader of a smaller sized community, which, you know, as we know, they didn't have mobile technology back in those days, so that news wouldn't have travelled as fast. Whereas, so it's not to take away from Job, but it's to recognise that we're in a different place to where they were back in those days. So I think there's a challenge for us where we can almost feel, how do we protect ourselves from becoming desensitised to what is going on around us? Where we see, we might see, you know, food banks popping up or homeless shelters or lots of people with lots of needs, and that becomes a norm, and then we become very insular because of that, and we let our hearts become hardened to it. I just wanted to, I guess, share an experience that I had where I felt particularly overwhelmed, I guess, with compassion fatigue. At the beginning of the year, I was on my training course on foundations, which is a church-led thing. So Guy Miller, if you go to West Point, he's very keen to push foundations as sort of an opportunity to study your Bible more. And this is in Bournemouth, and I was walking across to the Asda at the end of the day, which is pretty much opposite it. And Guy Miller had just been talking similarly, I guess, around having, as a leader, having your heart prepared to be, or having your heart in a place where you can actually respond to people and see needs. And as I was walking across, there was a homeless guy sat against the Asda car park, and partly being stirred, I guess, in terms of feeling like been encouraged, I sort of just sat with him and asked how he was doing. And I said to him, by the way, I don't know if you know, but Bournemouth Citygate Church, they have this Friday night opportunity for people, homeless people, to have a meal and have a shower and be in a safe environment. And he said, I do know, but actually they're full this evening, which was really sad. So I thought, okay, how can I help in this situation? So I went into the Asda and I got some food for him, and some like other little bits. And then I offered to pray for him into some of the situations, because I knew his story and I know that God is a God who can do incredible things. And I could have looked at that and I could, you know, you could think that's the end of the story, and then just saying this to maybe build myself up, but I'm not really, because what follows next is I walked round to my car, which was parked in the car park just along, as I was walking through the underpass to cross a main road. There underneath was another guy, homeless guy, and then my heart just stops, because you're thinking, I've just helped, to a degree, I've just helped this guy, and I've already just turned around the corner and there's another person who's just crying out in need. And I didn't have any more cash on me, I didn't have any food on me, and in my head I just was easily able to go back into that mindset of I guess being desensitized to it, although I was feeling quite raw about it. But all I could do was apologize to him and say, I'm sorry, and walk off. And afterwards I was just really kicking myself, because I thought, why didn't I even just pray for this guy? If that's all I could have done, I could have just prayed for him. And the thing that got me the most about that experience with this guy was that he apologized to me for almost interrupting my day to ask for help. And that hurt me the most, because kind of like, if someone's in help, they shouldn't have to apologize for asking just for some help. I know that's like a situation with homelessness. But at the same time, we also need to remember that the little that we do, or the big that we do, still makes a big difference in the moments those individuals. So that still, that first guy I was speaking to, still made, I hope, made a big difference to him. And although I, you know, was overwhelmed because the second guy didn't have anything for him, or I could have, or you know, whatever that sort of response is from me, is let's not get, I guess, upset too much, because this world is full of trouble. And if we can help where we can and help those in front of us, let's try to do that. There's a verse in Galatians that says, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time, at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So let's ask God to help keep our hearts sensitive to the struggles of those that are around us, and we don't fall into this trap of compassion fatigue, where we just get so overwhelmed that we end up almost being like a rabbit in the headlights and we don't help anyone. If we can help some people, that's better than helping no one. I had this picture of a, when I was preparing this, of a candle, in the dark. And all these actions that we do, if we consider the whole world, we even consider the community of Shepparton as sort of almost perhaps a need, a place of suffering to a degree and need, the more good we do are like the more little candles that light up. And the more candles you light up, the more light that shines in to the situation. So let's be encouraged to continue to do good. I'm just going to finish with this story, and then we're going to have a time just to pray with one another, because I think it's important that I stop talking and let us pray for, let God do what he wants to do. I'm sure many of you may have heard this story before, and maybe the characters are changed, but I think it's very applicable to us and it's helpful. So the story is this. There was an old man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing, and he had a habit every morning before writing of walking along the beach. And early one morning, whilst he was walking, there had been a big storm the night before. And on the storm, because of the storm, he found that the beach was littered with starfish, as far as the eye could see, left to right. Off in the distance, the old man noticed a small boy approaching. As the boy walked, he paused and then would carry on. And as he drew closer, the old man could see that the boy would occasionally stop, pick up a starfish and throw it back into the ocean. The old man said to him, "What are you doing?" And the young boy looked up at him, as all young boys would, "I'm throwing starfish into the ocean. The tide has washed them up onto the beach and they can't return to the sea by themselves. When the sun gets too high, they will die unless I throw them back into the water." The old man replied, "But there must be tens of thousands of starfish stretching all along this beach. You're not really going to be able to make much of a difference." But the boy bent down still, picked up another starfish, threw it back into the ocean, and said it made a difference to that one. I think if we look at those characters, we could probably recognize sometimes where we all switch between the different characters at different times. Sometimes we can be like that old man who is just overwhelmed by those needs of what's around him, that he doesn't even know where to start to make a difference. Or you could be quite in to a degree feeling enthusiastic and feeling passionate and feeling stirred up, where you think, if I see a starfish, I'm just going to throw it. If I see a starfish, I'm going to throw it. I'm not going to sort of I'm not necessarily going to be able to throw all the starfish, but I'm going to be able to make a difference here and here and here. And perhaps some of us in this room also feel like the starfish right now, sometimes a bit hopeless, a bit nowhere to go, and needing of some help. I just thought it would be, as I said earlier, that God wanted to call us into a time of response to this. So I wonder if you might stand with me. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to just have an opportunity, I guess. And it might be a bit noisy at first, and but there's an opportunity, I guess, for to get alongside a couple of people, just maybe around you, break off into a small group. And if you're here for the first time and you're not necessarily a believer, why not? And if you are a believer, why not encourage them to come and join with you in your small circle, perhaps, or your sort of prayer section, and just sort of say, why don't we just sort of pray about this together? But what we're going to do is, I'm just going to pray, and if we can break off in small groups, what I'd love for us to do is just pray that God would stir up in our hearts individually compassion for each other, and that he might stir up in us something that we can be compassionate about serving, and that leads us into action. So I'm going to pray, and then we've got some music that's going to come on in the background, and I know it's going to be a little bit messy, but that'd be just great if we can respond in that way and see what God wants to do. That's what we're here to see. Father God, thank you for what you've put on my heart to share, Lord. Thank you that you are such a compassionate God. Father, thank you that although the needs are many, you want to bring healings. You want to see, you know, sufferings ended, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you would just help us, your church, be stirred up to respond as best we can and make small differences in the lives of those people that are around us. Father, please encourage us. Please stir up in us. And Father, please just help be with us as each day as we, you know, leave our house for whatever we're going to do. So Father, we just ask that right now your Holy Spirit would just pour over this place. Father, we welcome you in this place. And Father, we just say, please have your way here amongst us now. In Jesus' name, amen.